I believe that was worth waiting on. Amen? And I'm on in the house now. Is that correct? Hallelujah. Great job, ladies. Great job. Thank you so much, Hispanic Ministry, for rushing over here. They must have had longer songs than us this morning over in Hispanic Ministry. God bless you. Well, good morning, Emmanuel Baptist Church. Yeah, almost did it again. Go ahead and laugh. Today, I come to you and say, grace and peace from God our Father and His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And we can continue in our current series titled, Above All, which is a walk through Hebrews. Today's message is from Hebrews chapter 9, verse 22. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 22. As a matter of fact, all over the sanctuary in digital or printed format. If you have your Bibles out, please hold your Bibles up in there. Digital format, printed, amen. Hebrews, please turn there. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 22. Today's message will be about the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. The blood of Christ. Reading from the Word of God, if you're there, please say amen. Amen. Keep your Bibles out. You're going to need them today. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 22. And according to the law, almost all things are purified with blood, and without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. Heavenly Father, we give you thanks for this day. We give you all the glory and all the praise. Lord, I ask that you forgive the teacher his sins, for they are many. Let his lips speak only your truths in the name of Jesus, and let us hear the soft sound of sandal feet in Jesus' name. Amen. So a question today that we have is, what is it that makes a great church? In other words, what is it that makes a church that honors God? Well, there's the four B's. You know, in school, all the A's is what you wanted, but in church, you want the four B's. The book, the blood, the birth, and the blessed hope. You see, the correct teaching and preaching of those things are that which makes a great church. The book is God's holy word. It's the holy word of God. It is not something, it does not contain the Word of God. It is the Word of God. It is perfect. It is inerrant. It is without the slightest bit of error or fault. And it is all about Jesus Christ. From the first page to the last page, if you read your Bible and you don't see Jesus standing there somewhere in the shadows, you are reading your Bible incorrectly. That's the book. The blood is all about the sacrificial blood of Jesus Christ, which is what we're going to be talking about today. The birth is all about becoming born again. In order to make it into heaven, you must be regenerated. You must be a born again believer of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the blessed hope, is the hope that we all have that Jesus Christ is literally and visibly coming back someday. He could come back this very second. If not this very second, then surely before the end of our service today. If not before the end of our service, maybe while we're on the way home. If not while we're on the way home, but surely this week. Amen? There is nothing that has been left undone that needs to be done that would stop Jesus Christ from returning this very second. Aren't you glad you're in church? You see, if the Lord returned right now and we were caught up to be with Him in heaven, that is one of life's ultimate awkward moments. If you're not in church when that happens, you know, the church doors open, you should be here. Amen. So, that was a little lame there. Let's try that again. Amen. There we go. So listen, friends, today's message is all about the blood of Jesus Christ. Now, some people do not like the teaching on the blood. In other words, they call it, you know, preacher, that's just a gory story that you're talking about there, the blood of Christ. Well, it's not a gory story. It was gory when it happened. But what it is a glory story. It is a glory story because the Lord Jesus Christ, in all of His glory, subjected Himself to the trials of men and went to the cross of Calvary. You know, the great Apostle Paul addressed the blood of Christ shed on the cross of Calvary. You'll see this on the screen in Galatians chapter 6 and verse 14. It says, but God forbid that I should boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. You see, the preacher is to preach the cross of Jesus Christ. He's to preach the blood of Jesus Christ. But everything begins and ends with the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you're here today and are wondering what it takes for a glorious eternity in heaven with God, the only requirement that there is found in the Word of God for you to make it to heaven is to receive Jesus Christ as Lord. You must receive Christ as Lord. How do I know that? I'm so glad you asked. Jesus said it himself in John 14:6. In John 14:6, Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." Help me out, church. "No one comes to the Father except through me." You see, friends, listen to me, and this is for those of you sitting here in the sanctuary, those watching on the internet. If you are apart from Christ, you are hell bound. There's no other way to say that. You are hell bound. And if you wind up in hell, it will be because you climbed over the cross of Jesus Christ to get there. And to crawl over that cross, to climb over that cross, you have to do something else too. You have to trample over, you have to walk over the blood of Jesus Christ. God has put a roadblock to hell, and it's called the cross of Calvary. That is the way that we get to heaven. Friends, the Bible is clear. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. Meaning that there is no forgiveness. There is no cleansing of sin. And without that, in our sinful state, we cannot enter God's heaven. That's the bad news. Why don't we get to some good news? Amen? I mean, that's what we're here for today. We're here to glorify God. We're here to praise the Lord Jesus Christ. We're here to call upon the Holy Spirit's power. So if you should have some notes in your bulletin there. And listen, friends, I encourage you, every person that walks in the sanctuary should have their own bulletin. Now, guys, I know that sometimes, you know, we just get used to our wives doing things for us. I don't know about you. I don't want my wife taking notes on what the Lord is telling her for me to do. So make sure you pick up a bulletin on the way in. Amen? So we have 3 points here today concerning the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. First point we have is all about the prophecy. Point number one is about the prophecy of the saving blood of Jesus Christ. Listen to me. What do I mean by that? Calvary was not an accident. Calvary was not an incident. Calvary did not happen as an afterthought. It was God's plan. In Revelation chapter 13 and verse 8, write that in your margin. Revelation 13, 8 says that the Lamb was slain before the foundation of the world. In other words, before anything existed. Listen to me, Emmanuel. This is important. Before God set this planet into space, before God scooped out the seas, before God piled up the mountains, before God flung out the sun and the moon and the stars into the heavens, before anything was that is or has been, Christ was slain in the heart and mind of God. He was slain before the foundation of the world. Calvary was no accident. Because without the blood, there is no remission of sin. In Genesis chapter 3, verse 21, the Lord covered Adam and Eve's nakedness with an animal skin. See, getting that skin required the shedding of the animal's blood. Amen? By the way, he didn't just take it off. Here you go. Take this fur. Why did God do that? Without the blood, there is no remission of sin. Adam and Eve had at least two sons that we know of, Cain and Abel. The Bible does not specifically say that they were the first two. I want you to understand that. I'll be teaching on that on the book of Genesis after we finish the book of Colossians on Sunday evening. But anyway, Adam and Eve had these two sons, Cain and Abel. And in Genesis chapter 4, we read that Cain brought the fruit of the ground as an offering to God. But it was not accepted by the Lord. Why? Without the blood, there is no remission of sin. But Abel offered an innocent sacrifice lamb, and the Lord accepted it. Why? Because with the blood, there is the remission of sin. In Genesis 22, God chooses a man named Abram, who would later become Abraham. And he tells Abram, "I will make of you a great nation through your seed." His seed being Isaac. That is who he would make the great nation of. But think about that for just a moment. In Genesis chapter 22, God has, Abraham has God's promise that he's going to create a great nation. But if you look up on the screen, Genesis chapter 22, verse 2, God tells Abraham, then he said, now take now your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah, and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains which I shall tell you. Can you imagine the depths of heartache in Abraham's heart? Because if Abraham is obedient, if Abraham sacrifices Isaac, then the only way that God could keep his promise would be to raise Isaac from the dead. That's the only way that that could happen. But listen to how God provided. Abraham and Isaac are on their way. Isaac's wondering where the sacrifice is. He says, Abraham says, God will provide. Amen. We all know the story very well. And then Abraham places his son Isaac, whom he loves, and puts him on the altar. How he got a teenager to sit still, I have no idea. Abraham was not a young man. Isaac could have easily run away, but he did not. Listen how God provided. In Genesis chapter 22, verse 13, it says, then Abraham lifted his eyes and looked, and there behind him was a ram caught in a thicket by its thorns. So Abraham went and took the ram and offered it up for a burnt offering instead of his son. Why? Because without blood, there is no remission of sin. When God sent the plagues on Egypt, what was the final plague? It was the death of the firstborn of Egypt. But God made a provision. He said, if you'll place the lamb blood over the lintel and on the doorpost, what will happen? I will pass over. I will pass it by. In Exodus 12, 13, God says, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. But God said that he must see the blood. Because why? Man will try everything else to get over with God. We will try everything else, beginning with works. We think that our good works will help get us in heaven. But friends, what does the Bible say about our good works? They are as filthy rags. God said that he must see the blood. You see, in the book of Exodus, if the Hebrews had placed rubies and diamonds over the lintel, it would have done no good. If they had placed silver or gold over the lintel, it would have done what? No good. If they had written beautiful poetry and prose and nailed it over the door, it would have done no good. Even if they had placed a live, spotless lamb there, it would have done what? No good. God had clearly instructed Moses, when I see the blood, I will pass over. Why? Without the blood, there is no remission of sin. So that's first. We saw that in prophecy. We see that in the stories of the Scripture in the Old Testament. Second point today, we see the provision. The provision of the saving blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you already have your Bibles open to Hebrews chapter 9, if you look right there in Hebrews chapter 10, Hebrews chapter 10 verses 4 and 5, if you're there, say amen. For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and goats could take away sins. Now just listen to that again. I'm going to read that one more time. For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and goats could take away sins. Therefore, when he came into the world, he said, sacrifice and offering you did not desire, but a body you have prepared for me. The question we ask is, were those Old Testament sacrifices enough? And the Scripture clearly says, right there in verse 4, absolutely not. But look now at chapter 10, verse 1. If you dare, say amen. For the law, having a shadow of the good things to come, and not the very image of the things, can never, with these same sacrifices which they offer continually year by year, make those who approach perfect. Year by year. So why did God have his people do that? Why all of those Old Testament sacrifices? Why were thousands and thousands of lambs and bullocks and turtle doves, year after year, century after century, millennia after millennia, offered a sacrifice? Why? Because they symbolized and prophesied the coming of the Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. That is why. Listen, church, God became a man specifically so that God could become man's sacrifice on the cross. And a substitute for our sin. Why? Because without the blood, there is no remission of sin. Jesus Christ is the sacrificial lamb of God. Friends, when John the Baptist saw Jesus coming in John chapter 1 verse 29, he said, what? Behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. Now, I've said this many, many, many times, and I said it at the start of this message, but the Bible, the Word of God, is all about Jesus. The Old Testament uses imagery throughout to point to the Lord Jesus Christ. And those Old Testament high priests would go into the Holy of Holies once a year, but only if properly prepared. We talked about this on Wednesday night, I believe. Only if properly prepared, properly sanctified, they would go in there. They'd have a rope tied around their waist with a bell on it. And if they went into the Holy of Holies improperly prepared, God would strike them dead. And those outside the veil would hear the body hit the ground and the tinkling of the bell. That would cut down on false pastors. Amen? That would absolutely cut down. But they would go into the Holy of Holies, I'm sure, in fear and trembling of the Lord. And in the Holy of Holies was a piece of furniture called the Ark of the Covenant. And the Ark of the Covenant was covered with a slab of gold called the Mercy Seat. And under that slab of gold was the Ten Commandments, which spoke of the absolute righteousness and holiness of God. And God would come into the Holy of Holies and He would descend. And the Shekinah glory of God would descend and hover right above that Mercy Seat. Why? Because the law that was inside the Ark of the Covenant calls for our death because of our sin. And the only thing protecting us from the law is the glory of God resting in His mercy. Amen. Isn't God good? Amen. That He would do that? Isn't God good? You see, friends, when I think of that, when I think about the provision of the saving blood of Jesus Christ, when I think about Calvary, it moves me deeply. I get this pain in my heart. I feel inadequate to even preach the gospel of Jesus Christ in my sinful state. There's times when I walk from that spot right there to here, and my knees almost buckle, because as I approach this holy ground right here by the pulpit, I hear the Holy Spirit of God in my heart saying, take your shoes from off your feet, for you are standing on holy ground. That is how we are to approach the Lord. But listen, let me just borrow the words about Calvary that some unknown writer put down. Tongue cannot tell. Throat cannot sing. Hand cannot paint the tragedy that was enacted at the hill called Calvary. Gather every one of the icy winds that howl through the frozen north. Extract the heart's despair of a mother who watches wild beasts tear her baby apart. Capture every hopeless groan and every helpless shriek of the damned in hell. And with all of this imagery at your command, you will still be unable to paint the picture of what happened to the Son of God at Calvary. Why did the Son of God do that? Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. But Hebrews chapter 12 verse 2 says that Jesus went willingly to the cross of Calvary for the joy set before Him. What was the joy set before Him? You. Amen. You. The chance to have you in His heaven with Him. You see, friend, if you're here today and you don't know Jesus Christ as Lord, there's nothing stopping you from receiving Christ today. He has done all the work. You simply need to receive Him within your heart. Amen? Because Jesus was not a helpless victim there. Jesus, on the cross of Calvary, could have called down the legions of angels to come and deliver Him from that cross. As a matter of fact, I believe it is only the Lord Jesus Christ that could stop His angels from bursting out of the gates of heaven. I can imagine Michael and Gabriel and the archangels holding back the angels of heaven as they're mounted on their steeds, looking to burst forth from heaven and wipe mankind out for what the Son of God was going to have to go through. But the Lord said, no. I must do this. Millions of angels straining at the bit. But Christ has gone to this cross. Why? Because with the blood there is remission of the sins. He chose to die for you. He chose to die for me. When I think of the cross of Calvary, and I think of the list of my sins, and I picture the Son of God stretched out upon the cross, I hear His heart saying, I love you, I love you, I love you. This much. You know, as he hung there on the cross, the people mocked Him. They scorned Him. They pointed their fingers at Him. And they said, if you're the Son of God, come down from that cross. Then we will believe. That's the wrong question. Amen? What they should have done is gone to the tomb. Waited till the next morning and said, if you're the Son of God, come out of that tomb. And when He came forth, then they would have believed. Amen? Because the Son came up and the Son came out. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. Death and the grave was defeated once and for all. Where is found the true victory in Jesus? It's found in the provision of the blood. We saw the prophecy. We saw the provision. And now we come to our third point. The power. The power of the saving blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, 1 Corinthians chapter 1 verse 18 says, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. But unto us which are saved, it is the power of God.
Amen.
You ever share the cross with an unbeliever and you can see they just don't get it? It takes a believer to understand that. Why? Because there's power. Power. Wonder-working power. Amen? In the precious blood of the Lamb. So let's break that down. What kind of power is there in the precious blood of the Lamb? Well, number one, there's redeeming power. I have four or five sub-points here if you want to write this down. First is redeeming power. If you look on the screen, we'll see 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 18. It says, knowing that you are not redeemed with corruptible things, like silver or gold, from your aimless conduct received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. I am not redeemed with silver or gold. I am not redeemed with some animal. The Son of God redeemed me personally with His blood. You see, Peter is saying there, you're not redeemed with silver and gold. It takes more than that. Charles Haddon Spurgeon, called the Prince of Preachers back at the turn of the 19th century, said that when the blood of Christ fell to the ground beneath that cross, it fell upon the dust. And the dust said to the grass, it is finished. And the grass said to the shrubs, it is finished. And the shrubs said to the trees, it is finished. And the trees said to the leaves on the trees, it is finished. And the leaves said to the birds in those trees, it is finished. And those birds flew up to the clouds and said, it is finished. And the clouds ascended to the stars and said, it is finished. And the stars burst into the throne room of God and declared, it is finished, paid in full, redeemed by the blood of the Son of God. Amen. Hallelujah to the Lamb. Hallelujah to the Lamb. So first, Christ's blood is the redeeming blood. Second, Christ's blood has the power to bring us near to God. It brings us near to God. Ephesians chapter 2 verse 13 on the screen. Ephesians chapter 2 verse 13 reads this way. But now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. When we are unsaved, we are far from God. Amen. But the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ has brought us near. Friends, there's times when I'm in this beautiful chapel here that when we're singing or we're praising or we're praying, I would not be surprised if the roof were lifted off and we'd be right in the presence of God. Right in the throne room of God. Amen? It is only the blood of Jesus Christ that allows us into that presence. So not only is it redeeming blood, not only does it have the power to bring us near, third, it has the power to make peace with God. On the screen, Romans chapter 5, verses 1 and 2. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of the Lord. Did you know that apart from being redeemed, apart from being regenerated, apart from being saved, you are at war with God? You're not waiting to make a decision. You're not straddling the fence. You are apart from God and at war with God. But through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, there is peace with God. And your salvation through the blood of Jesus Christ is the only thing that brings that peace. Fourth, it has the power to cleanse our sins. The power to cleanse our sins. If you look on the screen, 1 John chapter 1, verse 7. It says, but if we walk in the light, hallelujah to the Lamb of God. Was there ever a time when you walked in the darkness? We all have. But if you walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from some of the sin?
All sin.
Hallelujah to even all sin. Even those sins that we buried deep in our heart, that we forgot about. They're so embarrassing. Even those sins, I have these times when I go into my prayer time and I have my time, my period of confession of sin, and I confess all my sins, and I say, Lord, I lay these at the feet of Jesus. That one's kind of embarrassing. In my heart, I say that. But it has the power to cleanse us from all sins. Hallelujah for the blood that cleanses. Listen to me, friends. All of us have those times when we're not obedient. Amen? All right, let's try that again. All of us have those times when we are not obedient to Christ. Amen? But if you are saved and you've come to those moments or those times when you've slipped into sin, bring that sin to the Lord Jesus Christ. Confess it to Him. And He is faithful and true to forgive you. You don't have to get saved all over again, but you do need to be cleansed by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. The blood redeems. The blood brings us near to God. The blood makes peace. That blood cleanses. And hallelujah, the blood of Jesus Christ gives us power over Satan. How do I know that? I am so glad you asked. If you look on the screen, Revelation chapter 12, verse 11. And they overcame Him. The Him there in that scene is Satan himself. And they overcame Him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. And they did not love their lives to the death. In other words, when you come under attack by old Satan, just say to him, I rebuke you in the name and the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he has to flee. Hallelujah. Listen, friends. When you are saved, you are indwelt by the Lord Jesus Christ. That same light, that same Shekinah glory that exists in Christ exists in you. You are that light. And when you rebuke Satan in that light, darkness has to leave. Darkness can't stay on the scene. It's got to move along. Now listen to me, folks, closely. We're almost done. Church will be over in just a couple of minutes. And everybody will walk out of here today being washed in the blood. Or not. If you are washed in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, then you will spend an eternity with God. If you are not washed in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, then you will spend an eternity separated from God. I know that's hard to hear. I know that sounds harsh, but it's the truth. And I would rather... Listen to me, everyone. For those of you watching on the internet, I would rather fall dead at this pulpit than not take this opportunity to share God's wonderful news and the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because hell is a real place. The lake of fire is hot. And eternity is long. And the truth is, listen to me, you don't have to go there. If you've never received Jesus Christ as Lord, you don't have to go there. You can be with Jesus Christ in heaven. You simply need to receive Him as Lord. Church, what can wash away my sin? What can make me whole again? Oh, precious is that soul. Amen. That wash me white as snow. I'm going to end this message the same way I started, saying grace and peace from God our Father and His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm looking around this sanctuary and I see faces that I see every week. I see new faces. I see folks that I haven't seen in a little while. I'm so glad to see them here today. But listen, I don't know where you stand in your eternal salvation. That's why we have preachers. Amen? Amen. I don't know. And so I'm going to explain it as simply as I can. For you to go to heaven, you must receive Jesus Christ as Lord. You must believe and understand the gospel. What is the gospel, the good news? The gospel is spelled out. You can write this down if you're watching on the internet. Write it on a piece of paper. And I'm going to paraphrase here for a moment. But it's in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, the first four verses. And it basically says this, that in the fullness of time, God sent His Son, Jesus, in human form to live on earth. That Christ came. He lived a perfect, sinless life. That He went to the cross as a sacrifice for our sins. That He died on that cross. That He was placed in the grave. That He was there 3 days. But on the third day, the sun came up and the sun came out. He was raised again to the glory of God the Father. Therefore, because Christ has defeated death in the grave, if you receive Him as Lord, if you confess your sins and ask forgiveness, God will forgive you of every sin you've ever committed. Is that not good news? Every head bowed and every eye closed all over this sanctuary. Father God, we are so grateful for this chance to come into Your house today. And Father, as we came here today, we came looking to hear from Your Word. We came here, Father, expecting something wonderful. And Lord, I cannot think of anything more wonderful that if it were within this sanctuary or someone watching on the internet, if they receive Jesus Christ today, then Father, it doesn't matter what happened here today. It doesn't matter if some of the music was too loud. It doesn't matter if some of the music was too low. It doesn't matter if the air conditioner was too cold or too warm. None of that matters. Because if someone got saved, then everything that has been done here today for Your glory has produced fruit. And we give You thanks for that. And it's been a glorious day to be in the house of the Lord. Now for those of you that may have received Christ today, I want you to know that you're already saved. There's nothing else that has to happen. But why don't we formalize it by praying? Pray these words quietly in your heart. Repeat to yourself after me. Lord Jesus, I believe You are the Son of God, come to earth in human form. I believe You lived a perfect sinless life and died on the cross of Calvary. That You were placed in the grave and You were there 3 days. But on the third day You rose again, defeating death in the grave. Therefore, I receive You as my Lord. I confess my sins. Please save me, Lord Jesus. And I will follow You to the best of my ability all the days of my life. In Jesus' name. And all God's people said, Amen. Now in just a second, we're going to stand and we're going to sing. And if you receive Christ for the first time today, I want you to walk down these aisles. I know it'll seem a little awkward. That's okay. Walk down these aisles and place your hand in mine and say, Pastor Larry, I received Christ for the first time. If you came to a point today of conviction where you need to rededicate your life to Christ, recommit your